Welcome to episode 304 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us for our latest Winter Olympics special. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and I'm joined again by Olympian and former Team GB ski across athlete and TNT Winter Olympics commentator, Emily Sarsfield. Hi, Emily. How are you going?
I'm fine, thanks, Ian. Literally just walked through the door after doing the TNT this morning for the ski cross. Yeah, whirlwind.
Yeah, well, I know when we last spoke, you've been in Maribor, and I know you've not been skiing today because we're listening to your commentary on the women's ski cross this morning. So that event is the obvious place to start. What a great final that was. I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, you couldn't pick it. I mean, the fact that the best four athletes in the world right now made it to the final, you don't often see that in ski cross because it's just, you know, anything can happen. So that firstly made it a great final. Although the track we discussed before didn't have the huge jumps and it didn't have all the big features, it definitely made for a great race. To see those girls perform, it was unreal.
And silver medal went to Fanny Smith from Switzerland. She's a relative veteran at 33. It's her third Olympic medal now. You mentioned during your commentary that you know her pretty well. I seem to remember there was once a rumour that she might follow the path of other athletes like Charlotte Banks and Gus Kenworthy and join Team GB. Was there ever any truth to that?
Yeah, no, that's true. So it was when I was competing. So me and Fanny are actually like really, really good friends. And yeah, she was like, I'm thinking about coming over to Britain. And I was like, yeah, go for it. But it didn't quite work out on the bureaucracy side of things. So it was probably a good option for her to stay with the Swiss because obviously they've got this huge support team and what have you. But yeah, she's got an English mum, Fiona, and an American dad. But they've lived in Switzerland all their life. They live in Villars. So, yeah, she's born in Switzerland and what have you. But would it be nice to have a race for Britain, get that medal for Britain? However, yeah, I was just so stoked to see her get the medal.
It's a shame there wasn't a British medal. In fact, it's really a shame that this is one of the few freestyle events where we don't have a British competitor at all. No one has been following in your footsteps, Emily.
I must admit that Britain do make it extremely difficult. They've got an international criteria and then Britain make a more difficult criteria on top of that. But unfortunately, there's no female World Cup ski cross races at the moment. There's quite a lot of them in the Europa Cup circuit who are doing really well. However, we've got our representative tomorrow with Ollie Davies, who will go in the men's ski cross.
While we're on the men's ski cross, you mentioned Ollie Davies representing Team GB. I spoke to him just before the game, so let's have a listen to that.
Ollie, you're going to be competing in the ski cross. And in terms of the course there, have you had any insight on what the course is going to look like? Because, you know, we remember from Pyeongchang, there was that ridiculous Wu-Tang right at the start. Are there any kind of weird features like that?
I don't know. I've seen the CADs of it, as in the actual CAD of the course, and it doesn't look like there's anything too crazy. We'll find out before the event. We're actually heading into the village on the first, and we have the second and third 2 days training. Because normally for the Olympics or any World Cup, we get a test event. Make sure the track runs well, the jumps run well, nothing's too short, nothing's too long, which they didn't do. Normally they do the season before. Last season they couldn't do it, so they're doing it before the game. So we'll get to go in, have a test run of it, see where everything's like, scope the place out. So that'd be pretty sweet.
You know, you are the only British ski across athlete taking part. Do you think that is a disadvantage, because some of the other teams, you know, have more than one athlete, and sometimes I've heard it suggested that, you know, having more than one person from one country can work together a little bit. Would it help to have another British athlete on the team?
Yes and no. Good to have more of a team, yeah, for sure. Like, good to have somebody to push me into. And then in terms of strategy, I mean, I think that's a little bit of a myth. Maybe they do a little bit. Everything's pretty controlled, and maybe if you have, I don't know, say two Canadians in front of you in a run and you're sitting in third, you could probably think that the Canadian sitting second isn't going to be doing anything too wild to try and make an overtake on his teammate. Like, he's probably just going to be hanging out, sitting behind his teammate, just to hope they both get through the round.
So who's involved in your coaching setup then?
At the moment, nobody. So out of Olympics, nobody. Me, and it's been members of my family actually up until now. So I've had my sister come. They're both all in the ski industry. My sister's been with me on a few of the World Cups. During the games, I've got the snowboard cross staff who I'm really close with working with me. So they're staying because the snowboard cross is before us. And then one of their coaches and their technician is going to stay on and work with me throughout the games.
And I think it must be so much better. You were in Beijing last time round, and I've spoken to several athletes about how restrictive it was in Beijing, having to take COVID tests the whole time, all the limiters, and presumably not having your family there. This time with the games in Europe, it must be a lot better for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to be sick having the family there. They can all enjoy the experience as well. So to see them there, that'll be pretty sweet. It's pretty sick. And then, yeah, my time with Beijing was weird. Like, it was a weird Olympics. Like, it's the first Olympics. I mean, I was expecting it from kind of wasn't the Olympic dream I'd always hoped of. COVID test, no family. So I'm looking forward to these ones. It'd be a proper Olympics with family and friends around, and also having one under my belt coming into another one. Like, it's just going to be the expectations on I will put on myself won't be the same. So the Olympics are no longer on a pedestal for me. So it's just like any other race, just go in and ski free.
Unlike World Cup races, when it comes to the Olympics, there's no qualifying, but there is seeding.
So the higher up you are seeded, the better gate choice you will have. If you're the number one seed in, per se, run, you'll get first choice of which gate to start from, which, depending on the track, that can have a big impact. And so, yeah, so I'll be getting all out there. But also you can race a little bit more free because nobody's getting knocked out.
For you, do you have a preferred gate, or is it just too variable? The courses are too different to be able to say.
It's too variable on the track. Like, I'd say that most of the time, the two middle gates are the fastest, but then depending which way the first turn's going, it can either be middle left, middle right. I think the first turn will go, it'll be a left footer, it's going to be a right turn. So I think middle right or far right, maybe the choices.
Cool. And I guess you'll know more after the 1st and 2nd of February when you've had a chance to try the course.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, I wish you all the best, Ollie, and we'll definitely be looking out for you on the 21st of February. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. No worries. Thank you.
Now, Emily, you know Ollie well. He said then that as it's his second games, he feels much more relaxed. If I wonder if you could give an insight into the setup that he's got to work with there out in Livigno.
Yeah, I spoke to Ollie yesterday, and this course suits him quite well. And I just really hope that relaxed kind of feeling he's got translates to his skis. And if it does, he will be definitely one to watch tomorrow, because in the men's, the margins are so small. So anything can happen. They're all extremely talented if you make it to the 32. So it'll be great to kind of watch him now. Yeah, he's got a tough, challenging setup in Livigno. He's there on his own, essentially. This season, he didn't have a coach, so he's been taking his sister's boyfriend, his girlfriend, to kind of just come and support him and do some video work for him and stuff like that, just to so he can get some feedback. But that's tough, because I know too well, unfortunately, how tough that is. You know, in comparison to the big nations like Switzerland and Germany and Canada, who've got kind of more staff than they have athletes. But the snowboard cross coach and tech are actually going to stay on and help him out. And they're going to be preparing his skis and helping him as well. So that is, I love the kind of camaraderie we've got within Team GB, that those guys are going to be there to support him.
Oh, absolutely. What do you think would be a good result for him?
A good result for him. He's definitely capable of getting quarterfinals and even semis. And we've seen him there in the finals on the world stage before. So, yeah, anything is possible for the guy.
And you'll be doing the commentary again for the men's ski across tomorrow.
Yeah, and which is I'm really excited about, actually, because although the course is quite flat, it's running quite slowly. That's giving really good opportunities for the slipstream and the draft. So I think we're going to see a lot of passing in the mid of the course and over that last jump.
Oh, well, I'm really looking forward to that one. Now, Shemi previewed the women's slalom for us in our last episode, and she got that completely right. Admittedly, I could have predicted that Michaela Schifrin would have won, but a 1.5 second margin is massive. And in fact, the largest margin in alpine racing since 1998. So I'm really pleased for her. She is already the winningest World Cup skier of all time. She has 108 World Cup wins, but she'd gone 10 Olympic races in a row without a medal. She'd had a career-threatening crash. Her father died just before Beijing. And in 2014, at the age of 18 years old, she became the youngest US woman to win Olympic gold in alpine skiing. Now, in 2026, at the age of 30, she's become the oldest. It's a great story.
Yeah, no, it is a great story. And what a skier. And what an athlete. And I was just so happy to see her take the top spot, but she absolutely dominated, didn't she? Not just in run one, but in both runs. And to have that kind of margin of 1.5 seconds is it just shows you're kind of a different class.
It wasn't a difficult prediction, but well done to her, Michaela Shiffrin, going home with the gold. Now, in our last episode, we mentioned cross-country and ski-mo, and I've got to mention them again. Firstly, massive congratulations to Andrew Muzzy Musgrave and James Clunay, who came fifth. Britain's highest ever finish in cross-country in the team sprint relay. Is only a couple of days after Muzzy set that record with sixth in the individual. Now, here's my mini rant here, right? I'm a supporter of the BBC, but it really frustrates me that on the BBC Sport website, as far as I could see, there was absolutely no mention of that finish. No mention of the best ever British result. There's wall-to-wall coverage of very tedious curling, but next to no cross-country. Did you see any of the cross-country at all, Emily?
I did, Ian, and I think I have got the same little bugbear as you, because I was watching it and I was looking for like Muzzy and James. And it, obviously they've got their suits and stuff, which I can tell, which is a British suit. And I saw literally my eye was on them. I was thinking the fact that James in that last lap, well, Muzzy had got them from 10th into 8th on the 5th lap. And then James went in and got them from 8th into 5th. So he'd overtaken another couple of people on that final lap, which was like, considering it's actually quite a short space of time, it was like phenomenal skiing what he managed to do. And I was like, why are they not talking about this? Tell me what James and Muzzy are doing, because yeah, it was unreal. I was shouting at the TV screen, I think, but those guys work so hard. And just put this in context, fifth in the Olympic Games is just, it's phenomenal.
It's fantastic. Another event I couldn't find on the BBC. Did you see the ski-mo yesterday? I mean, I thought cross-country looked hard. But I watched that on Discovery Plus as well. And actually, the setup there is a brilliant TNT Discovery Plus. You can look up every event and then you can just watch it as live and then fast forward through the heats. But the ski-mo, these guys are phenomenal athletes. They are just incredible. Sean Ingle, he's a journalist who works for The Guardian covering the games for them. He called it Snow's answer to triathlon. Does that sound right to you, Emily?
It was something, I'll tell you that. I think Ian Innes really brought it to life for us, because it's one of those events where maybe you don't fully kind of understand what's going on. Like, all I can see is they're running up hills, but like, I didn't realize it was actually more of an obstacle course. And so it was like running up the stairs, and which got to think that they're slippy. And then I didn't realize that how much they actually had to go around the gates, and the alpine skiing comes into it, and they're taking over the jumps and stuff. But yeah, he kind of like explained how all the transitions worked and stuff like that, which really meant that I kind of understood it. I still think those guys are crazy though, Ian. Like, they must have the biggest fitness via to max.
Yeah,
ever.
For sure. I mean, listener, if you haven't seen it and you've heard Emily saying it's like an obstacle course, they have to run upstairs. You seriously, track it down. You've got to watch it. It's just an incredible event. And actually, talking about Emily Harrop won silver for France. She's another Brit that got away. She was born in France to English parents, and she was British downhill champion as a teenager before she switched. Bit of a shame that we missed out on her as well.
Yeah, that is a shame. But yeah, maybe it's next time. Now that people know she's got a British passport, maybe they'll entice her to come over.
So the games are drawing to a close. You can watch more of the ski-mo tomorrow in the mixed event. And tonight we have the men's ski halfpipe. We mentioned Gus Kenworthy earlier. He qualified for the final in ninth place, I think. Then tomorrow, Zoe Atkin goes for a medal in the women's ski halfpipe. Now, she qualified in first place in the qualifiers, or qualies, as I realise all of the commentators call them. Team GB are desperate for another medal on snow. Are you brave enough to make a prediction for this one, Emily?
No, I'm not. But I think I think she's totally capable of it. I saw a little bit of her, a VT of her the other day, and how she works in her psychology. And she's kind of really focused on making sure that the pressure of the games and kind of being that pinpointed athlete is not going to affect her, and I really hope that helps and she can just focus on her technical skiing. If she can put down what she can actually do in training and all of her events, yeah, I think she'll take away the gold. But you've got someone like Eileen Yu, who's also going for it, and she's had a great games.
She's picked up a medal in every single Olympic event she's taken part in. She's been remarkably consistent. She's still very young. She's a worldwide star, but who knows? Maybe Zoe will be a worldwide star as well. That's great. Okay, well, if you've been listening to these Olympic specials, listener, I would love to know. Normally in winter, I publish once a week, and up to 12 in the last 2 weeks. So if you'd enjoyed this episode, I'd love to know. You can leave us a comment on Spotify, Instagram, or Facebook. Our handle is Ski Podcast, or drop me an email at skipodcast@gmail.com. I did get one bit of feedback since the last episode, Emily, from someone that you know. Al Morgan said how much he's been enjoying listening to these episodes and hearing your voice. In fact, in our last episode that I released yesterday, he reported from the SIGB ski test, where he mentioned that he saw you out there. You live very near each other in the UK, but you have to travel to another country to catch up.
As far as the crow flies, we're probably about 500 metres apart. However, we pretty much only see each other in Italy or France or what have you on the ski resorts, which is, yeah, it's quite bizarre.
Well, he's been enjoying it. And listen, if you've been enjoying our episodes too, please do let us know. One final comment. If you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget you can get an additional discount if you use the code SKIPODCAST when you book at InSportRent.com. Take the link in the show notes for your discount to be applied. Right now, I'd like to thank Emily for joining me. Thank you very much, Emily.
Thanks so much, Ian.
And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.